Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today we're looking ahead to the 2022 elections in Illinois from the Republican perspective. Illinois, as most folks are aware, is a blue state, but there may be causes for optimism among Republicans that could make next year quite competitive and interesting in the land of Lincoln. We'll hear more about that today with one of the rising stars of the Republican Party in Illinois. He's Ryan Spain, state representative from the great city of Peoria, and who will be guiding Republican efforts to pick up seats in General Assembly this cycle. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's quite a challenge. As you know, Illinois has changed over my lifetime. I'm quite a bit older than you are, but it's gone from probably leaning Republican to being pretty solid Democratic. But what's your outlook overall heading into this cycle? Are you looking to just make some solid gains in seats? Is there a chance of taking over? What's kind of your overall perspective?
Well, I'm very positive about the 2022 election cycle for Republicans. I think that's nationwide, but also and especially in the state of Illinois. And I really see this as an opportunity to deliver major change in this election cycle, especially for the legislature. This is shaping up to me look like a 1994 type of election cycle. And actually, it was 1994 where Republicans for really the only time during his reign of power, were able to get a win on Mike Madigan and took the majority in the Illinois House of Representatives in 1994 for that two-year cycle. So I feel very positive about our opportunities this time around. That's why I was elected by my colleagues to serve as our campaign chair for this 2022 election cycle. We actually have two elected positions in the Illinois House Republican Caucus, our minority leader, and then our campaign chair. So that's my position. I feel really, really enthusiastic that the issues are lining up our way and that we have great candidates throughout the state of Illinois who have materialized to step up and run for 2022.
For listeners out there, just from a historical perspective, at least in Congress, the party out of power in the White House usually picks up seats, and some of that has down ballot implications. So the general landscape may favor the Republicans down ballot a little bit, but you're thinking it may be quite a year in Illinois for the Republicans. What you mentioned Madigan, who's been the 800-pound gorilla in Illinois politics for everybody's lifetime, forever, it seems like. He's off the scene, but is he still going to play a role? I know he was very prominent in some of the Republican advertising in the last several cycles.
I think so. Madigan, you know, we basically conducted an impeachment effort towards Madigan in the 2020 cycle. And you know, Republicans in Illinois were expected to do very poorly in that 2020 cycle. But we actually made gains in the Illinois House. We have more Republican seats now after the 2020 election. The J.B. Pritzker income tax increase referendum failed miserably throughout the state. And yes, the issues surrounding Mike Madigan were part of our campaign last time. And since Madigan is still around, since he is still funding candidates, and since his apparatus remains in place for guiding the Democratic Party in the state of Illinois, yes, he still will be a part of the 2022 election cycle. But, you know, that's not enough. I think it's important, you know, Republicans can talk about the things that we are opposed to in the state of Illinois, the legacy of Madigan, many of the decisions being made by Governor Pritzker. But we also have to talk about what we stand for. What will we do? And you know, we've already developed our own contract with America for for this 2022 election campaign. We need to be able to talk about what it means for Republicans and what a Republican agenda would deliver for the state of Illinois. And these are issues that will resonate in Chicago and Carbondale and everywhere in between. We have to restore fiscal responsibility. We have to eliminate corruption. We have to provide opportunities for families. That's jobs, education, and healthcare. And last, and probably most importantly this cycle, we have to promote public safety. We have to protect our communities, and we have to support law enforcement.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a big issue that we hear about here downstate a lot, is the crime reform bill that its sponsors said was passed to fix some deficiencies and inequities in our system. But what are your concerns about this bill generally? I mean, crime is always, I think, a relevant issue for folks. Everybody wants to live in safe neighborhoods. But what is it about this bill that you see that's particularly threatens public safety?
Well, the crime legislation, the police reform legislation that was passed by Illinois Democrats, was one of the most shameful activities I've ever seen coming through a legislative body. First of all, any activity that's passed, any major effort that is delivered during a lame duck session of the legislature, I think is unconscionable. And what we saw in Illinois was a lame duck session in January and a major overhaul of police activities in the state of Illinois was passed with a one-vote margin, literally less than 2 hours before the end of that session of the General Assembly. The roll call was held open for several minutes while votes were whipped and persuaded to get this thing over the finish line. And to pass major legislation in that fashion, I think, is very problematic. And so this bill does a lot of things. It eliminates cash bail. It weakens some of the abilities for police officers to do their job. But I think the real proof is what we're seeing right now throughout the state. Crime is on the rise in all communities, in the city of Chicago, in my hometown of Peoria, and everywhere else. And so you worry about those things when you see senseless shootings along the interstate in Chicago, or hundreds and hundreds of carjackings taking place. It is very troubling and bothersome. But the problem is, the people that we rely on to protect our communities and make us safe are leaving the profession in droves. If you're a young police officer, you have transferred out of the state of Illinois to find a place that is more hospitable to do your job, where you're viewed as someone who is helpful to the neighborhood and not harmful to those that you serve. And if you're older, you're looking for everything that you can do to hit the retirement button and exit this profession. I think the most telling thing that we see is, out of the 102 counties in the state of Illinois, we have about 40 sheriffs who have already either retired or announced that they will not be running for reelection in 2022. And those are just the ones that have publicly announced. So we're going to see more than half of the sheriffs in the state of Illinois turn over. And that's not a good thing. These are people that are dedicated to the profession of law enforcement, but they are leaving because police officers have been made the villains in the state of Illinois. And if we elect Republicans to take over the majority in the Illinois House, which is my goal, and I believe is very attainable for 2022, we will reverse these efforts.
I have to ask a question that pertains to Chicago and getting back to politics. I have a friend, a very independent person, I trust him, objective, who was talking to me just last week about crime in Chicago and how out of control it is, and people packing up and leaving because of it, and businesses and individuals. Do you think that there's any chance, and of course Chicago is heavily, heavily Democratic, as you know, is there any chance, I mean, are you going to be engaged there? I know. The George W. Bush campaign did some strategic targeting about trying to pull votes out of urban areas, people that shared concerns. And I'm not asking you to give away your internal strategies or anything, but it has the thought occurred that maybe we can even make some gains in the city?
Yeah, well, without getting too far into the strategies or exact candidates, the answer is yes. We will be participating in legislative races in the city of Chicago, races that have historically been unopposed will no longer be opposed this cycle. I think that's very important. And, you know, I want to make sure that the candidates that we have in these races will be reflective of the characteristics of their district. And so I think that's very important. So for me and the way I approach candidate recruitment for our campaign organization, we want to make sure, first and foremost, that you're a good fit for your district. And there aren't certain litmus test issues that have to be overcome for us to work together. We want to make sure that we are fielding candidates and participating in races where we have historically failed to do so.
You mentioned bringing fiscal responsibility back, and I've had some guests on my show recently, and from the other side of the aisle, Democrats, who are saying that the state's kind of turned the corner on their fiscal issues. The controller, Susana Mendoza, just issued a report recently talking about the state doing better on its debt, the bills being paid more promptly, et cetera. Is that going to be something that, I mean, what's your reaction to that? Are you skeptical of those claims? Is there other information that leads you to believe differently, that the state's still hurting financially?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag, and I'm a cheerleader for the state of Illinois. I want the state to do well, and I want to celebrate things that are going well. I am very happy that we've paid down a significant portion of our bill backlog that was generated through the budget impasse during the Rauner years. That's a very positive thing. We've also run up a huge tab on our unemployment insurance trust fund that is going to be a big liability for business owners and job creators in the state of Illinois that Democrats in power have failed to address so far. So those are mixed bag issues. I think you can see some signs of economic optimism in the Chicago area. There's certainly still challenges, some from COVID, some from crime that we've talked about. But I can tell you as a downstater, downstate is hurting very, very bad. And one of the things that I've talked before to Governor Pritzker about is that we need to have a strategy for downstate. And I've pointed to him to successful states like Michigan and now Indiana that understand it's important that you create other opportunities of vitality in your downstate communities. Michigan decided that putting all of their eggs in the Detroit basket was not smart for the long-term future of their state. And so they invested heavily to make sure that Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo could be successful. The state of Indiana is doing that right now with some of their federal funds that they've received through COVID. We do not have a strategy for downstate, and I've been very disappointed that this has not been a priority for Governor Pritzker. We need to have places like Rockford and Peoria, Quad Cities, Springfield, Champaign, Urbana, and many others. I mean, these can be important areas for economic vitality. The community I live in Peoria, is the second largest metropolitan area in the state of Illinois. It's a far difference from Chicago, but we have a very large region. We have a lot of opportunities for success, but we are struggling. And population losses, stagnation, even down to small rural communities. And what are we doing to make sure that the manufacturing job center of these communities remain intact? It's just not something that we hear from Democrats in leadership positions in the state of Illinois. And I think it's very important, especially as we see the results of the census. I was stunned and I was horrified when Governor Pritzker celebrated the fact that we only lost about 20,000 people in the state of Illinois in the 2020 census. In the United States of America, 10 years should not go by and your state ends up with fewer people living in it than 10 years before. That is an indictment of failed policies of Democrats who have been in charge of the legislative process for far too long in the state of Illinois.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is State Representative Ryan Spain from Peoria, who is in charge of Republican efforts to win the Illinois House of Representatives, the Illinois General Assembly. It's a tall order, but he's here giving reasons why he's optimistic that the Republicans can make gains and even win. It's an impressive goal, and we'll see how this plays out. We've been talking about some issues here that are critical in this cycle, and I want to turn to the fair tax. Well, that's what it was called by the Pritzker administration. It went down fairly significantly, and it was designed to put a progressive tax system in place in Illinois, where people that make more money would pay more tax, and people at the lower end would pay less. That sounds like a wonderful idea, and polls showed it is fairly popular. What's your thought on why it failed? And not only it wasn't even close, as I recall. I don't recall the percentage. Maybe you can help. But what's your thought on why this went down, and how will that play into your strategy for next year?
Sure. In terms of strategy next year, it's a great map for us. It's a guidebook for us on voter attitudes in the state of Illinois on issues that matter most to them. Their own pocketbook and their trust or distrust of government. And so ultimately, I think the failure of Governor Pritzker's income tax referendum comes down to trust. Voters do not trust him. They do not trust the Illinois General Assembly to be wise stewards of their dollars. And, you know, when you have a unified tax code, which is what we have in the state of Illinois, it sort of serves as a disincentive for politicians making adjustments to individual and corporate tax rates each and every year. That was on the ballot. And obviously there was huge distrust from voters giving that type of power and ultimately a blank check authority to politicians in Springfield. The tax referendum question failed in a supermajority of all of the House districts in the state of Illinois, both the current map and the future potential map, gerrymandered redistricting map that has been passed by Democrats. So we know that this tax question was wildly unpopular, and we know exactly where it was unpopular. That's very helpful to us because all Democratic incumbents voted to put it on the ballot. And when you combine the fair tax failure with the Democrats' efforts on creating a lot of destruction to law enforcement and the resulting high crime that's taking place, we have huge opportunities. We need to gain 15 seats in the legislature, but we have legitimately very likely targets of 25 to 30 Democratic incumbents that will be in play because of their voting record on these two issues.
You mentioned redistricting, and I know that, of course, that takes place every 10 years after this new census information reflect population changes. And I don't think it's an overstatement or false or anything to say up front that the map the Democrats produced was heavily gerrymandered. I don't think there's any question about that. However, you know, the Constitution allows states to draw those maps. And, of course, in other states like Ohio, for example, right now, the Republicans are in control and drawing their map to benefit the Republicans the most. I believe this has been challenged in court, but what's your view overall? I mean, keeping in mind that, you know, hey, each party does it and all, and of course Iowa has an independent commission do it, but it looks like they just, the Iowa House and Senate, which are Republican, rejected the first writing of that map. How do you see this overall, and what are the chances of the courts overturning this map?
Well, this is one of the issues I'm most passionate about. For many years, I've sponsored amendments to the state constitution here in Illinois that would change our redistricting process and bring more fairness and independence into the process. I think redistricting issues are at the root of all evil for why our government fails to work well together. You incentivize candidates to act in the most extreme ways so that they can navigate their own primary. You set up general election contests that are not really contests at all. And you put these people together in a legislative chamber and you wonder why they don't work together. Well, we've given our elected officials no good incentives to work together, at least in terms of their electoral politics. So redistricting is a huge problem. I served on the Illinois Redistricting Committee. It was one of the most disappointing experiences I've ever had in government. And I served in local government for 10 years before coming to the legislature in Illinois. The process was awful. And to your point, Democrats on that committee would routinely say, well, what about other states, Ohio, Texas, Florida? And I would say, You know, redistricting is an important process, and whether it's Republicans or Democrats that are doing gerrymandering, it is wrong. And I think Democrats were setting this up to be some type of gotcha question during our process that I or some of my colleagues would want to defend Republican efforts in other states. Absolutely not. Gerrymandering is wrong, and it hurts all of us, especially voters and residents of the communities that we serve. But I will say, there is no state that is more sorely in need of a different way forward than Illinois. At least the Republican gerrymandering in other states is taking place in a state that is growing and succeeding economically. You don't even have that to hang your hat on as Democrats in the state of Illinois. So the process was just awful. And we went through watching the Democrats meet in closed doors, drawing their maps in secret rooms, allowing the incumbent politicians to very deliberately decide which constituents they wanted to represent. And I just think that's wrong. And so, as you mentioned, we have sued the Democrats in federal court. I think that's important for violation of equal protection and voting rights claims under the United States Constitution. And our co-plaintiff in that litigation is a group called MALDEF, Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. And that's an important civil rights organization that is looking to build more Latino representation all throughout the United States. Latinos are the largest minority group in the state of Illinois, and they have a deliberately diminished presence in the state legislative chambers because of Democratic gerrymandering to protect their incumbents. And I think that's all of it is very, very wrong.
I talked earlier about the what we would call the 800-pound gorilla on the Democratic side, Mike Madigan. On the Republican side, it's still former President Donald Trump, who's very, very visible still in American politics. I see that looks like he's going to be planning a trip to Iowa. The Des Moines Register just had a poll that showed him more popular than when he was president, more popular than the incumbent Senator Chuck Grassley. How are you looking at this issue, Ryan, from the perspective of the specter of Trump and candidates favorable to Trump perhaps being more electable in a primary, but perhaps less electable in a general election, especially up in the suburbs?
Well, first, I think those poll numbers are very, very interesting for the Trump favorability in Iowa, especially against Senator, as a comparison to Senator Grassley. But that may be partially related to some of the activities of President Biden. And just, you know, as any administration gets deeper into their tenure and you begin to see issues pop up, whether it's COVID issues, border issues, Afghanistan issues for President Biden, maybe that gives you a different boost to a former president's favorability. I think here in the state of Illinois, it's an important issue, and it's one that I think about a lot in a state that is so diverse. And when you go from the city of Chicago and large portions of the suburbs, Donald Trump is a non-starter. And that is just the reality of the political reality in those communities. And as you come further downstate, Donald Trump is viewed very favorably. And so to me, navigating that path forward is important. And again, we have to have candidates that fit the districts that they intend to represent. And just overall, I think as a Republican Party, it's going to be important. I acknowledge and realize that President Trump brought out a lot of new voters and energized people in ways that we've never seen before. And so to me, as I think about how important state legislative races are to people at home, we have to retain those voters. New voters that came out of the woodwork that haven't been engaged before, we have to retain. But on the other hand, we have a lot of voters that were repelled by President Trump, and we have to regain those voters. And a lot of them were moderate Republican voters in the Chicago suburbs. And so our efforts are intending to regain those voters. I think we need to do both things in a state as large and as diverse as the state of Illinois. Retain and regain is our strategy for moving forward.
We have time for only one more question here, about a couple minutes. But I wanted to ask, obviously, your elections for the Illinois General Assembly will be down ballot. A big concern has got to be the top of the ticket. We have a U.S. Senate race. We have a governor's race. And this issue of COVID and masking and vaccinations has become a big race. One of the candidates for governor on the Republican side is very vocal, very prominent in the anti-mask, questioning COVID, all that. How concerned are you? Are you going to try to have a role in shaping the top of the ticket? Do you feel the candidates will be viable in the end?
Well, I think it's a good question. We need a strong top of the ticket. I think that Governor Pritzker is very vulnerable. I've seen a lot of polling to that effect, watched his decision-making. And I think with the right candidate, we'll be celebrating a Republican victory in the governor's mansion and a majority in the Illinois House. But we need to have the right candidate, and the process, in my opinion, is just getting started. I think that we will see several more very strong Republican candidates to get into this race. You know, this is about the time of year that we would usually see people making their moves, making their big announcements for campaign statewide for governor. But remember, in Illinois, our election cycle is delayed by about 3 months. We've actually pushed back the primary election from the middle of March to the end of June. So we need to recognize that we're about 3 months away from seeing a lot of the candidates jumping in. And one of the things that I think will be a big issue, going back to the topic of redistricting, we have not yet drawn the congressional map for the state of Illinois. And based on how that map is drawn, you may see members of Congress looking very seriously at the opportunity to take on Governor Pritzker.
Okay, well, today our guest has been State Representative Ryan Spain from Peoria. He's the head of the Republican efforts to regain the General Assembly in this election cycle, and it'll be very interesting to watch this take shape over the next year and a half or so. Ryan, thank you so much for being a guest, and look forward to having you back at some point.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Heartland Politics is a production of WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. If you enjoyed this conversation, you can hear more on the Heartland Politics podcast, available at WVIK.org, in the WVIK app, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.